Let's call the meeting to order.
She knows.
Yeah, I heard her say 5:35, so she's I heard that. Hi, Kate.
Hey, everybody. It's 5:35. Let's officially call this meeting to order, if we could, please. It is February 18th, the CPAR meeting. Can we get a roll call, please?
I'm present.
Annabelle Dumas? Kate Calhoun?
Here.
Carlos Portillo?
I'm present.
Nancy Huck?
I'm here.
It's great we have a quorum. So I apologize for not being there, and I'd like to introduce you to Agnes of the Bijou. This is my first cat I've had, and I did not know that they like to get in your stuff.
And I think they're trying to adjust the volume. We barely can hear you.
Okay.
So give them a minute to adjust your volume.
This is Kristen on the phone.
Okay.
All right.
How does it sound now? Y'all, can you all hear me okay?
Yeah, it's still the same. We're having an issue with the – we came in and the tablet was completely black, and we reset it, and that's kind of the one that controls the volume. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to just kind of get with this one.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, so I will try to speak up so that you all can hear me. I apologize for not being there. I've got a procedure tomorrow, and I have a cat for the first time. And so Agnes is, like, walking back and forth, so I do apologize for that. If you all can, item number 2, approval of the legal action report in the meeting minutes dated December 17th, 2024.
I'm to accept the legal action report and the minutes from December, right? From December 17th of 2024.
I'll second.
Okay. Emmett Tadeo?
Aye.
Annabelle Nunes?
Aye.
Kate Calhoun?
Aye.
Carlos Portillo?
Aye.
Nancy Huck?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, so item number 3, report from the chairperson. This is my last meeting where I am your acting chairperson, and I want to say thank you very much for the last 2 years. I'm not going anywhere, but I'm delighted to hand the gavel over to Jaime. That's really my report, and then let's go ahead and go into item number 4, TBD training. TPD response to street takeovers. Lieutenant, good to see you, sort of.
Hello. So first of all, thanks for having me here. I want to talk about what we're doing to address our street facing takeover situation that we have in our city. My name is Jesse Chamberlain. I've been with the Tucson Police Department for 25 years. I'm currently assigned to Operations Division East as the full commander. I'm also the commander that's assigned to our street racing initiative. So basically, when we talk about street racing, what is it? Basically, these are unsanctioned events that are happening on our streets in Tucson, where we basically have large crowds that gather at a specific intersection. They use their cars to block all lanes of traffic. So that leaves a clear kind of the middle of the intersection so that they can then drive their cars in the middle of the intersection and do burnouts and do donuts, and engage in other dangerous acts, which you'll see here in a second. And those include vandalism, violence, looting, firearm possession, public use of alcohol and illicit drugs. Just know that these events create a climate of fear and intimidation in our community, while also overwhelming our resources, the public resources, in order to address these problems. One thing to note is that this problem is not exclusive to the city of Tucson. Basically, across the country, cities are dealing with the same issue that that we are. It essentially was conceived around the time of COVID, where people were bored. There was not too many people out on the streets. And that's when these people started going out and basically engaging in these spiritual builders around that time. So we've been dealing with it ever since. So here, I'm going to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. This is just some video. And you'll see what I mean. You'll see all these cars that are blocking the intersection, not allowing traffic to pass. We've got the
Is this a red camera?
Is
it like at night?
Yes. Yeah, this is at night. This is using our FLIR technology from the helicopter. So as you can see, it creates not only like officer safety issues, but also public safety. They continue to do this until police ultimately show up to break it up. Some more stuff just talking about officer safety. This is some of our local kind of groups. These people associate themselves groups. They give themselves names. This one, Tucson Street Boys. You can read what it said down at the bottom, talking about the police department. And you can see also the guns that they are displaying. So we frequently are coming across these types of people. While we are addressing this issue, we come across numerous guns. I'm going to show you this video, and I didn't hear any audio, so I don't know if it's not coming across, but pay attention on when I play this video. And just so you know, I'm not the one that put this dumbass here. It was some of their own. We took this from their social media. But what you'll see here, you can just pay attention. This car is going to be doing donuts, and they're going to be shooting outside of the car in the air. So. You'll probably see the muzzle flashes there. And one of the reasons why they do this is because they like to post. They like to get the attention. They do it for clicks. They do it for likes. Some more local groups. This is from a traffic stop. This is the type of weapon that we're taking off of these people involved in the street racing. And then here's just another video that shows, again, the danger to the community. This is up at Christopher Columbus Park. Not too long ago.
Oh, boy.
So that person suffered a couple broken legs, like a broken pelvis. And this is not, that's not just a singular occurrence. It's happening, you know, quite often.
So what kinds of, like, if you were to find out who the driver was, what kind of charges are leveraged, like, for the injuries and...
So it all depends on a couple things. What we're looking at, right, we're looking at endangerment. We'd be looking at aggravated assault. So it could be serious charges. One of the problems is that a lot of these kids are the people who are the victims. They don't want prosecutable because it's their friends, right?
Okay.
So, you know, we have to maybe just go with a lesser charge, like reckless driving, and go that way instead. So our strategy, what are we doing, the Tucson Police Department doing? Well, we have broken down in two categories. Enforcement. The goal of conducting enforcement is to dissuade these individuals from participating in those events, and we do that both proactive and reactive. And then our community engagement and education. We know that we can't just go out there and arrest everyone, but we also need to have this component where we're educating the community on the dangers, and and we are basically bringing, you know, the message not just coming from the Tucson Police Department, but coming from the community to these individuals that we're not going to accept this behavior. So talking about enforcement, what have we done? So what we've done is we've created four additional community response teams. So one additional community response team in each of our divisions. Those community response teams, they work Friday through Monday. The majority of these events occur on the weekend at nighttime. So their hours are 5 p.m. to 3 a.m. They're specifically assigned the task of addressing and going out and responding to these street racing events and enforcing the related laws during that time. They were all provided specific training and shown, become familiar with the laws that we're going to enforce, and also some of the strategies that we can go and how we're going to enforce that.
Is it normally at same areas where they know to go to this particular area because it often occurs there? Or do you know that it's happening because you get 911 calls? Or both?
Yeah, that's a really good question. But it basically occurs across the city. And I'm going to, there's a slide that I'm going to talk to you about, which are some of the challenges that we have. And one of those challenges is, how fast they can move from one intersection to another. And obviously that we're playing catch up. We're trying to catch up with them because they use social media as a way to get, you know, blast out the message, send directions, hey, we're all going to head over to this, you know, location. So as soon as we show up there, hey, everyone head over to this other location. And it really happens across the city. There are certain areas that they like more than others, but those areas are across the city. So every division is being affected by the street takeover, the street racing.
And you have access now to their social media, so you also then are getting the messages of we're moving from here to here.
That is a tactic that we use when we're able to. So yes. We also have the ability to call in additional resources when we know that there is a like event. Sometimes you've got a box out on social media, hey, this weekend, everyone in Tucson, you know, meet out. We're going to, you know, hit the streets. And when we know that's going to happen, then we'll call in additional resources. That's our motor units. A lot of times we partner with our auto best task force because we have noticed that quite oftentimes stolen vehicles are used to participate in this. I don't know if you guys saw the news story a few months ago where this poor lady's car was set on fire in the middle of the intersection during one of these events. It was stolen from just like previous days.
Steal a car and trash it because it's not theirs.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is just some statistics since we started. We really started in October of last year, so it's only been going for about 5 months. But 12 felony arrests, 33 misdemeanor arrests, 4 guns recovered, 4 stolen vehicles, 23 vehicle impounds, and then we're able to conduct 8 follow-up investigations through the information that we gathered while being out on the street. So it is it's an ongoing process in order for us to refine our tactics and our approach in order to be the most effective in how we're dealing with this. And we are very much already in kind of the beginning learning phase of this. Did you have a question?
Yeah. Is there any type of profiling you developed first for the participants or the observers, age, race?
I would say that the majority, not necessarily race, but age, we're definitely dealing with a crowd from, you know, 15 to early 20s, the majority. Race, all races, gender, both, you know, all genders involved. That's our typical offender. That
female drivers too?
Female drivers too. Yep.
Are usually drugs and or alcohol involved?
Yes, quite often. You know, we're seeing that when we're doing the traffic sign on that limits. All right, so our community engagement and education. So our community engagement, what we did is we are in the process of doing a better job at this. And currently we are creating a partnership with our community safety, health, and wellness division within our city because they do a really good job on promoting, these types of issues that have a safety concern for our city. We created a relationship with Tucson Dragway and then the Muslim and Honda track because they're actually sanctioned legal events that they hold at these tracks. And our goal is to be present with members of community safety, health, and wellness at these events in order to present our material of the education, not only the community safety aspect of it, but also these are the consequences that you're going to face if you decide to go out and do this legally. So let's do it legally, here at the track. And that way you don't get your people in time in the future. The other thing we're doing is we're looking for opportunities to partner with other local businesses. And one example of that would be, when they hold these legitimate sanctioned events at the tracks at Tucson Dragway and the Muslim on the track, they charge a fee to allow people to come in and do the burnouts on their track, and do their drifting. And sometimes, the cost is what, is a deterrent for some of these kids, to actually be a big because they can't afford it. They don't want to pay the money. So one of our strategies is to partner with business to see if they would sponsor, we're going to sponsor, hey, this many entries, into this. So maybe try to get some of these, kids off of the street line even and into a place that's safe, and they can do it. A couple of our other, on the education side is, using our PIO, our Public Information Office, to send out messages to the community about what we're doing and show kind of the consequences of if you get caught street racing, partnering with some of the local performance shops that these guys do in order to soup up their cars, to post some of the literature, and then a listening support from an organization called StreetRacingKills.org. It's an organization out of California that was started by a lady who sits in our daughter was killed while as a passenger in a vehicle that was participating in street racing. They put on a really good like a deterrence class that in California and some of the jurisdictions in California, if you get arrested or caught doing the street racing, it's mandatory to put so many people go through that similar to like a defensive driving class if you're late to. They're gonna be providing us with some of their literature in order for us to be able to pass out some events. This is just an example of our PIO putting out this information on our, I don't know if this is Facebook or Instagram, one of the social media, but, showing pictures of people's cars being towed, due to street race. So it's part of the kind of the deterrence aspect of it. This is just an example of some of the legitimate, postings that they do. So, you can see car show burnout stripping down at Tucson Dragway. This one here on the right, the Sonoran Street Show, that's coming up, and that's also down at Tucson Dragway. So our goal is to be present at this March 22nd event with our booth in partnership with the Community Safety and Health Wellness in order to promote that education aspect of this. Yes.
So under statistics, I think it was 23 pounds.
Correct.
when you track those back, most of them come back to the person that was driving or the mom and dad doing the
kids. Great question. I'm going to get to that in a second. You're like reading my mind. Why do you have to read my mind? So challenges, right? So right now we do have some challenges. Right now we have limited air support. We're working on that. We're working to get air support. I know, Prop 414 is going to need to address some of that. We're hoping to maybe get a plane. I know that in some venues that's not a hot topic or it's not something that people like here. But this is what it would be useful. You saw, the video that I showed you in the very beginning and how useful that is to allow us to identify, the people who are doing, this and just specifically target those individuals. It's essential that we have an air support unit to do that safely. A lot of these times, these guys, when we first try to stop them, they're not going to stop. They're just going to flee, and that creates, more of a danger to the public if we start getting to chase people. By, employing the use of air support, that is going to diminish that risk. Limited dedicated personnel, while we do have the four CRTs, sometimes, and I said that we have the option of calling in more resources when we need it, sometimes these events pop up randomly, and, the CRT units that we have on duty, it's just not supposed to be able to conduct as much enforcement as we would like. So, that's one of the things that we're dealing with, to come up with ways to innovate and address that. I already talked to you about how we're always playing catch up, how fast, how savvy they are using social media to send us out, and that we really have to stay on top of that. That requires officers to, have knowledge in that. And we're trying to train our officers how to do that. And we're doing we're getting more people trained up on it and becoming familiar with how to do it. But until we get more people, then it's always going to seem that we're kind of like playing the curve a little bit while we're out doing that. And then to answer your question, Mitch, there's an impound loophole. So part of the impounding the cars is the deterrent. It's holding these people accountable for what they're doing. And right now, Arizona Revised Statute, the law says that we can, if they're arrested for street racing or reckless driving, that we can impound their car for 20 days. However, that's if the person who's driving the car is the registered owner of the car. So if the person is not the registered owner of the car, then they are allowed to get their car out at least once after that. A lot of times what these kids are doing is if they get the car impounded, they'll swap titles or they'll change the name on the titles and they'll come down the next day and they'll get their car out. And this is just an example we ended up impounding this person's car. And this is just one example of many. They're not even worried about it. It's not even returned to them anymore because it says, to TBD, I'm getting that MF out tomorrow. Don't worry. Any day. And that's what we hear. Like, they're not worried about it. So a couple things. Number one, we can always go and to the legislator, ask for a law change. That's kind of a long game. Short game is that we are, we've been talking with city board to try to find out other ways that we can hold people accountable. And one way that we're talking about is to have a deflection option where, if they get caught reckless driving or maybe make it mandatory that they go to a class similar to what the street racing field that or puts on. They've been charged to do it, and then they'd have to sit through, an 8-hour class. And that could be just as much of a deterrent, if not more than having their car impounded or something. So, again, we're trying to be innovative in how we deal with this problem. It is something that I don't think is going away anytime soon. The Phoenix Valley has a whole task force that all they do is dealing with this because it's such a problem up there. And I think that we are on the right track, that we're making progress in our strategy to address this issue. So, any questions?
Is one of the challenges you find your internal pursuit policy? We've talked about your pursuit policy here before, and we've certainly looked at it for the review board. And if these guys do it at hazard and just take off, you're not going to chase them, right?
No. You know, unless, if you guys probably know this this as well, you know, unless they're involved in a violent crime, then no, we're absolutely not going to chase them, which is why in our support meeting would be beneficial, where we could just follow them passively until they stop somewhere. But there's been several cases where, you know, officers have been able to sit off, they see a vehicle, you know, doing their donuts or whatever. They're able to identify, you know, the driver. They try a traffic stop or a fleet. We don't chase them. We'll follow up on another day. Matter of fact, we just did that last night on the same question. Or 2 minutes ago, where a person fled and they were able to follow up and make an arrest. There's other things too that we're, you know, discussing the state floor in order to hold even the registered owner of the vehicle accountable for allowing their vehicles to be used in this manner. So something with that much of a higher that's showing up at their door, you know, when we identify a car and advising them, okay, your car was involved in street racing. This is a form of notice that you are accountable if it's happening. You need to be facilitating this type of crime if this happens again. So, again, a lot of different things out there. We're trying to find the best. Did I answer your question?
What kind of statistic are you seeing with the stolen vehicles? Because if you're doing those sort of sanctioned events, I can't imagine they're coming with stolen vehicles. It's okay, so.
No. I don't know the time they showed up. So, you know, I think we had recovered 4 in the last 5 months. Again, like, if you guys saw that data that I showed first, how many cars are there, there very well could be more stolen vehicles that are participating. It's just that, you know, when we have, you know, 6 officers responding, they can only check so many fails, you know, at once. But we did, we're more successful locating those small cars, and we have some very deployments and some rain and actual resources to help us.
And do you have a notable bump in protests from in the COVID period?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not sure what it's like since COVID or regarding the levels of pain. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, and is there a profile to the type of car, right? Like, so probably not going to get the filter. Anybody knows it.
You know, one of the cars, you guys might have heard this, that they have seen is they like the Kias. Kias. Yeah. Kias and Hyundai. They really like to take
A Dodge Charger, sure.
That you possibly, I'm not right at, but.
Would,
they like to use
that's
us.
A
lot of their best end up.
Would drones be where it's moving away?
So the problem with drones is that how fast these intersections happen. A lot of times, in order for us to deploy a drone, it takes a phone call to the FAA to get clearance for us to launch a drone. And so then by the time we know where this event's happening at this intersection and the officers get there, they call FAA to get clearance, they launch the drone. By that time, people are already standing. They know the police. And we obviously have to balance how long we're going to allow them to take over at intersection in order for us to you know, get the probable cause or just some force action on people. and I guess.
Then how would an airplane get faster? Would you just keep it up there?
An airplane?
Yeah.
Yeah, an airplane stays in the air. You don't have to, they're already out there. You don't have to have any turbulence. They can go from one side of the ceiling to another faster than people.
Like a bird.
Well, an airplane would be the best solution. And an airplane could be several miles away. And with the technology they have, they could see, several miles across the city and start to identify, those people. Say they're able to get down close and light his way. We have used drones in some cases. These guys will go out, down by like Cove and Valencia and some of the industrial areas. And when they think they're all down by themselves, when we have time, we'll launch a drone and be happy to do it. But as far as they're popping, they're running from all place, and that's it's almost impossible to get a drone to be effective. Any other questions?
Social media and burn accounts. Is that how you're going to see where they're going to answer the question?
I'm just kidding. I would say that we use all kinds of a lot of these people are posting stuff. They do have their circles that they use, and very bad place with those paths.
How does the bike stick launcher?
Well, I was actually going to say all of that's great. However, listening to the fear and rest and you're going to get in trouble being cold with it most likely make people do it more.
It could very well.
Because I'm just speaking from personal experience that my heart is fast, right? And I can easily go super quickly and I can get a thrill out of that, I don't know how to do donuts or wheels or anything like that, but I like people who know I'm going to want to do it, not get in trouble, obviously, but they're not find a way to. And then that leads to the other thing about the pricing on the fees on all these racetrack places. It's a great idea, but I feel like it's not going to reach the target population we want to reach because they're teenager participating in all these businesses. And I don't know what kind of business it is you're on trying to work with, but if you have that connection with that group as community people not CPD, I feel like you'd probably engage them more in that situation.
And that's why we're bringing in the community health problems because we would rather them the face to the message, right? Because they're more engaged with the community. So I completely understand what you're saying.
And then part of that is the uniformed officers, right? They're in a space like that, necessarily physically. Right, there's cops, community member perspective. If I experience or witness that, I'm in that space, and then there's officers also there, I would just feel like it's a trap. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree. To tell someone that, for us to go and tell someone that, hey, it's illegal for you to go out and do that, I don't think we have to say that because it should just be no. They know they're engaging in illegal activity. And hearing, the reason is why the Department of the Community State Health notes people is because we want them to be able to point people sitting on that, not necessarily with those funding, because we understand that when that's a positive, they're seeing coming from community member writing an organization within the community. So definitely issue is an approach that we need.
But it's also landing on that mindset of the 20 to 15 to 20-year-olds. I mean, like, you know, it's the thrill of going against law enforcement. It's the status of being the one that's, you know, being featured and getting the clicks and the likes. So it's like, you know, have you been working with, like, behaviorists to sort of understand that, to, so that crafting that message will get banged, actually? Does that make sense?
Well, I think that's, that's the reason why we would partner with the community safety and health and wellness. That's their job, right? Within the state of Tucson, that's the reason why that group exists and we're developing these types of messages. And I'm assuming that you guys are familiar with them or with that group.
Yes.
We all the attention. The felony charges that you pulled up in the PowerPoint, are those like first offenders or like repeat offenders?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at the general arrest. So according to statute, if you do get arrested for reckless driving or for street racing within, I don't know if it's a 12-month period or an 18-month period for a second time, then it would be guilty and becomes a felony as opposed to a misdemeanor.
3 years.
Good sense. So yeah, if you're found guilty, then bump it up to a felony. If it's a second conviction on street racing.
And that's like,
some of those are the felony arrest. They're associated to the stolen vehicle that they took. They get arrested for being driving stolen vehicle or being stolen vehicles. So that's why I think that's six. So it's not necessarily like street racing down the other cons too that become that we deal with as we're dealing with.
It's the youth, like, getting charged the same.
I'm sorry?
The youth, like, juveniles, do they get charged the same if they're arrested in their bad situation? Not, like, flipping and just staying something with their friends and their cars, and they get arrested. How does that process look like, you know?
If they were to get arrested for what?
For being in the car racing.
Like, if they're going to join? Then they go through the deal before they're charging the same, they get the process of the deal.
I mean, I'm not going to deal with that, but with that, if I did my guess, it's always, you know, once they're like, a one time thing that they actually got arrested in all that process, and then it's like,
it would be no different than they were arrested for any other crime. So it could, it could affect their ability to get insurance in the future for a vehicle or for cars. That's another kind of deterrent. I'm trying to enforce these student insurance companies. So yeah, we get the very well good. Anything, that's part of the message that we want, to put out there is to put the awareness. And now I know how kids think. Like, I've been doing this job over time. Sometimes they're getting hurt, sometimes they're not. Most of the time, they're not until they actually get caught up. Then it makes them dirty. Which is one of the reasons why I like the option of having an option for a deflection where they can take a course, an educational course in lieu of being caught up in the criminal charge. So,
can I just add that's looking at any other type of group and one that has a small part of it that are engaged in the criminal activity that's most concerning to us. Part of it is the education, so that, and I've got a teenager, right, and I've talked about these types of events with her. I have a teenager that's involved in the drag race, legally, with the tracks and all that kind of stuff. But I tell her, like,
You might think fast cars and racing are fun, but this is dangerous and illegal. And so sometimes there's a big portion of that group that just needs to hear that part. They're like, oh, okay, that's fun. Then I will be involved. So we can save them from those safety considerations or the poor decision making that can have lasting effects. And yeah, I think, of course, there's always opportunities for expungement and stuff like that. Of course, it's like
there's a lot of kids that are just throwing up, but you saw that crowd, right? How they are all gathered around. They're showing up just to watch you, right? But they're also putting themselves in danger, like, significantly. There's been at least one homicide that's happened, not in the village, you know, obviously farm jurisdiction, but it ended up to have a sheriff farm jurisdiction, or somebody was shot. And with the amount of guns that they're firing off, it's simply only a matter of time when somebody else is going to catch a scary silver or something.
One last question, anyone? Legislative work, like, is there actually do we have folks from TPD maybe working with Phoenix PD and all that talking to legislators right now?
So we're in the very beginning stages. We basically talk to a lot of the jurisdictions around the state, find out if they're experiencing the same issues with this kind of loophole, and they are. So our next step then is to, talk to our legal advisor, and then, they talk to some of the lobbyists that are working for these specific types of law changes and prison effect.
Yeah. So currently, me personally, as I see this and I've heard about it, I'm not an expert. I don't know any much, than you're like a lot of people here, but I understand that it sounded like you either do this legally or you don't, which is a simpler way, but there's the in between that probably needs more work on, like, do it safely. We can do this and have fun, do it safe. Now, the harm reduction model aspect of it. However, you did mention that, which is like the sponsorships with all these tracks, and I think that's probably that could be an area you'll have to be focused on, because personally, to say that somebody's involved with the legal way of racing, but then again, not everybody, and I feel like a lot of these people and folks that do this are from communities that are not the world of the first place, right? Because you have the fight system, you have a middle schooler who's now hanging around with all these people who are not doing illegal things. They experience that, right? I'm talking more about the South Side. This case, right? Maybe I'm on the South Side. I'm speaking from my own personal experience that I grew up seeing a lot of crime. I mean, my house got broken into. Our got stolen. We chased some dude down the street. That's what I grew up seeing. Now, what I'm expected to do is the same, right? So that's what I know how to do. However, the part of the sponsorships, like, it needs to reach that community that is, like, lower income.
Right.
They don't have that experience.
Yeah, and that would be the whole point of getting sponsorship, to offer those who, if the barrier is affordable, we're going to try to make it possible. And that whole point is, hopefully, what I've explained to you guys here is this is not a single farm approach, right? We're not heading on enforcement and going after it. It's a two-pronged approach, if not more, when we develop this concept and how we want to build it. We understand that there's other people besides the police department that we have to bring in and work together with those people in order to get the message out. You'll do that in the most effective way.
There's a program within TPD that has that sort of by extension group that works with those kids, like the kids bank.
Our community violence interdiction program.
Yes,
is,
right.
Is, we refer, kids from 14 years old forward to if they're at risk.
The perfect program.
And again, that's not, those resources are not coming from
police department feels very community based organizations, which is our goal make partnership with those community based organizations through what you can say, health and wellness.
I understand. I think I'm just kind of a little passionate about that because I have not met a single person that has said there's a racetrack that's down the road. Like, it's not a common knowledge. I feel like you do make a difference to the most accessible thing.
And one of the reasons why we have that idea because we go out to the communities, actually real sanctioned events, and these people, these guys show up. A lot of them show up to watch. And then they leave, and they go out into the city, and they do it. So a lot of the crowd that's engaging this are showing up to the legal sanctioned events, but then they're just leaving and head out to the city and doing it. So it could be, mine could be fairly a lot of people.
So, what is the police officer participating? Like in the people part of that, and then, that's more cool.
Like a challenge?
We have some
card, like regular folks, like just like you, like do the same things, so and we're doing it like in the same way.
One of the things, the long term, these things are pretty cyclical. I mean, in the 50s, they were in the drag racing, right? And that stopped. And now this becomes popular. It's likely going to have an expiration date as well. Not that you shouldn't take any action. That's certainly not the suggestion, but long term, I think this will fade. But let me ask you a question. Impound fees. Because when you're trying to tell a 15-year-old, 20-year-old, you can get arrested, you can get hurt, yeah, sure. And whereas I respect the effort, say, let me ask you this. Impound fees. Are the same impound fees if you're going to get your car out from being parked illegally or you're driving with a suspended license or you're involved in a street race? Is it all the same? Because it seems to me you want to make an impact. The city's done this with, for example, unruly gatherings and red tags where they try and price up phenomenal and it's worked. So is there a way to increase the impound fee potentially?
So nothing's off the table as far as, a way to try to close that and that loophole and to have the most effect on this issue.
The city sets the impound?
I don't know the answer to that question. All right. Well, thank you for your attention. And my email's up there. If you guys have any questions, if you want to discuss this in the village, feel free to reach out to me.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you, Lieutenant. I appreciate your time. Very informative. So item number 5, call to the audience. At this time, the community may address the board with their concerns. The board may not address a specific concern at this meeting. However, the board may, at its discretion, make a future agenda item at which time there can be discussion. Community members are asked to address the board, not a specific board member. Each person is limited to 3 minutes. Do we have anyone in attendance? Bueller? I'm losing some audio. Sorry about that, folks.
No one's in attendance.
Oh, no one's in attendance. Thank you. Okay. So let's move.
Or to speak.
Okay, so let's move on to item number 6, review of TPD investigations. In accordance with section 10A-88F of the Mayor Council mandate, the board may only review those charges specified in the investigation in order to comment on the fairness and thoroughness of the internal investigation and to report any concerns regarding that investigations to those specified in the mandates. So case number 23-0377. This occurred Operation Division East Side. The allegations were rudeness and racial. The complainant made allegations that the responding officer racially profiled her, intimidated her, and filed a false report that led to mental health order being placed on her. Does anyone have any comments?
Case 23-0377, I think, was pretty thorough in the investigation. I think that the officer who responded to the call did due diligence and sort of going around and finding witnesses to gather the information to put the case together. So I think it was well done.
Yeah, whoever did the narrative was like
so thorough.
Yeah.
Very thorough.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
Nancy's got a comment.
Well, I was just going to say, in one piece of the BWC footage, she sounded as though the man she was having the road rage and the juggling of cars, she sounded pretty competent and just, you know, upset and angry. But when she did the slap, she's like, okay, she just turned a corner there. And so, I felt that, yeah, the officer did what he needed to do, given the circumstances. So,
well, it helped that the individual had the video on his camera because he got her, you know, sort of.
Well, that's right. It wasn't the BWC. It was his video. Yeah. It was from his phone. That made it kind of turn a corner for me. As part of it, I thought, well, she's sounding like she's just very upset because of the incident. And then when that piece came up,
yeah,
I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you've got different circumstances going on here. So, yes, I think Officer Voss, it was, did what he needed to do. So I'll make a motion that if we're all right with that we close this thorough. Case number 23-0377.
I move second. Second.
Okay. I'm Italiano.
Aye.
And about me?
Aye.
Pete Calhoun?
Aye. Okay. Can you all hear me? Okay, sorry, the sound is fading in and out. Case number two, it's 24-0023, and this also occurred on the east side, and the allegations were speeding, poor driving. The complainant alleged that the officer demonstrated unnecessary aggressive driving behaviors and felt harassed by these behaviors.
Police officers know about like the complaining system or
the call. Oh, yes.
Yes.
I mean, for them to report or to tell the community how to report.
Do they know, like, the community is watching and they have this food that they can be reporting on? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there was one term, wiggle waggle or.
Wiggle.
Now, that's when the lights go on and off. I assume that that's what it was. Wiggle. Was that something?
It's new to say, yeah, it's a state of the lights. So if it's, you know, full lights, that's what we typically think of a police vehicle with the lights on. The ones when they're just red and blue in the back,
yeah.
That's what we call them.
That's a wig back. Okay. And then mad dogging was another term I made a note on.
It's mad dog.
Yeah.
I'm just scared it's going down.
Well, when it got to Emily's interview with Kyle Weaver, the gentleman who had filed the complaint, and he admitted that he was tailgating the VSL, I was like, well, then I think we're done here. I think that kind of wrapped it up. It did my, as I was reading all of this. And
yeah, he at least hints it to the fact that he knew that that could have been an issue. Mm-hmm. Like, well, that could have been. I mean, I see a cop car. I'm gone. I'm either taking a right or a left, or I'm lagging back. I don't want anything to do with it.
Best behavior.
But right, yeah. But I mean, he said, I know I may have been something to that effect. I may have been too close. I'm like, stop being close.
But then throughout though the interview, his language was just pure speculation. Something that he couldn't land on. This is how it happened. Well, yeah, and it was just too.
What, he ran into three times, yeah. Like that. Let's do three times. Come on, dude. Get off the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Maybe I was being a little too much. Yeah. But he admitted it, right?
Maybe I get nervous.
On the terminology, I saw PPR somewhere. What is PPR?
Personal performance record. So basically a PPR, it's not disciplinary in nature, but it can be used to document either a positive or negative observation or action, some sort of behavior that we want to either change and make note of, or something they're doing great. It helps us to write our evaluations annually. So, yeah.
Is that part of your city file or just their internal PPD?
No, that's just in like a supervisor file, and they can transfer it. So sometimes we'll have employees that will transfer between supervisors. So obviously we want to keep that continuity of supervision. So they can say, you know, here's what we know about this person. They're great at doing these things. We're working on some of these things. Yeah, it's just like I said, documentation of an observation, positive and
negative. Record.
Great. Would anyone like to make a motion?
For case number 24-0023 to be Barrenboro.
2.
Where's it? 2.
2.
I move for case number 24-0023.
I apologize.
I
second the very correct motion of case 24-0023. Barrenboro.
Thank you. Paul Jaime Tadeo.
Aye.
Annabelle Nunez.
Aye.
Keith Calhoun.
Aye.
Nancy
Hill. Aye. All righty. Case number 23-0232. And this occurred midtown. Unprofessionalism, off duty allegations. In summary, it was off-duty incident involving a former captain with the police department.
Yeah. I'm retired. Good. Okay, I have a question. That's crazy. So going over the action discipline things and. There was just I saw anything there. Don't you, isn't it like illegal to walk out on a town?
It would be theft, right?
Like they actually get charged for.
But they resolved that. Yeah, somebody came back and paid for it.
No, they
oh, right. And they
had already zeroed it out.
Yeah.
They called it a loss when they left. So that's, I guess that. No, I would guess it's now a non-issue, and that's the least of my worries. His attitude and behavior in this, and what they, how they behave, is more of an issue than stupid than the money. I mean, sad thing to say, but
yeah, I agree.
He's gone.
No, it's unfortunate that, and again, after you've had some drinks, you might not exactly remember what you said, but I'm thinking of this young staff at this one, this young staff there, and all of a sudden, these entitled public servants, who are on their own free time, acting the way they did. Yeah, that was kind of a little bothersome to hear, whether he admitted who he was or not, or someone else had disclosed who he was and his position. Yeah, it was unfortunate.
If a civilian had said the same thing in his interview, that I had 6 or 7 dreams, and geez Louise, he's saying all the wrong things, he's saying all the things that he's been through before on the other side of the right. It was sad.
Yeah. And again, I feel sorry for the young staff, because then ultimately they're liable if something awful were to happen, and then a lawsuit, whatever, whatever. And then these young people that are servers there probably making minimum wage and some tips, and they're treated this way when they're actually trying to protect them. It was just all of it was unfortunate. And so I think it said he was found in violation of general orders. So I think there was stuff that happened. Thank you.
Hi, I'm sorry. I have to go back to the bail thing. I mean, if somebody has their readily available where it says that like, they cleared that.
My recollection is his tab actually was cleared, but the table, like he paid for his drinks.
Okay,
the table
at the bar, right?
At the bar.
Yeah.
And so he was away from the group, and the group left, and that his drinks weren't on that $300
drink.
And then when somebody came back to pay for it, it was over.
Cool. Yeah.
But it's been 2 months since I've been discussed, so I can have some detail.
No, you're right.
So the food tab, the $300 food tab, wasn't actually his.
Right.
It was the rest of the table. And I don't think the food was ever delivered. So it was an internal kind of wipe and clean. But, yeah, it was all just unfortunate. And I think there was some disciplinary in violation of general orders and everything else. So something went down, and now he's retired, so there you go.
I don't know if you could say he didn't leave soon after that happened, or sometime after that.
That's my name. I'm working as a police officer, Hell's Paranormal.
Oh, great.
Oh,
thanks for that kind
of treatment.
Wow.
I don't. If I were to walk out on a $300 bill, I'm getting arrested, especially as a family wrestler. I don't know. I know you kind of clarified the whole thing, but as like
under the
yeah, it must have been really, really bad, because the one time I've ever been told who's driving is because I'm like, gosh. Okay.
Right, no, but they're doing their job, which is really good on the staff, right?
Yeah. But I wouldn't get mad about it. I'm just going to be like, for saying that I'm with TPD.
Well, there was somebody else that outed him, right?
Well, there was
and the TPD
with that. And that's where it gets cloudy when you've been drinking.
Yeah, somebody in the party, a woman, right? So the woman,
they said, you know, your deal.
Right.
A hotel room downtown, I don't think they were driving. You know, they seemed to be on foot. So, I mean, again, it's all just unfortunate. It all could have been taken care of better. But under the influence, again,
what?
You act maybe not your normal way.
One daiquiri too much.
He was having daiquiris.
Heart bombs.
I think he was having bourbon or whiskey or something like that. Getting one of those fire
wizards.
But the fire guys were all having beers that sounded like fire guys. Yeah, anyway.
One of the
I'm, unfortunate and unnecessary. So,
do you have any issues with that?
I mean, just really, you know, based on.
I think it's the company you keep as well. So, would anyone like to motion on the fair and thoroughness of the case?
I make a motion that we think it's been resolved. So this is case 23-0232. I think we can find it was resolved fair and thorough.
Sustained at the yellow. At the yellow, right? Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, she has a written reprimand.
Yes, sustained.
Yeah.
He was in violation of general orders.
I'll second that motion, Nancy.
I'm Italia. Annabelle Nunez?
Yay.
Kate Calhoun?
Aye.
This is what Mary mentioned. Oral is performance records.
Okay, so item number seven. Oh, I'm sorry, did I interrupt? Okay. Item number seven, Tucson Police Department. In accordance with the provisions of the state open public meeting law, these items that are listed on the agenda in order to allow TPD to present a brief summary of current events pursuant to provision ARS section 38-431.02, the board may not propose, discuss, deliberate, or take action at this meeting on any matter in the update unless specified matter is properly noticed for legal action at subsequent meeting. So item number A is TPD updates regarding events and developments related to TPD during the prior month.
In the year, like most organizations, we take out to evaluate what were our crime stats, what we know from other deaths versus how are we doing. So in our process of preparing to develop our annual report for 2024, we've taken a lot of opportunity to do that. So I look forward to when that will be out and available to the community to read, listen to information there. Our violent crime at the end of the year, we had some successes in our program as far as reducing violent crime. Our non-fatal shootings were up. This, you know, a non-fatal shooting is described as a skin piercing incident where a bullet pierces the skin. The parts that is concerning with that is the amount of crime that's involving guns as well as how close some of those can become, right? If any of those could have turned into a homicide if there's a better shot, right? So that's something that we as a department are looking to help reduce. One of the successes that we started with last year had to do with our reorganization and development of our shooting investigations unit, where we take the more deliberate investigative focus on our non-fatal shooting incidents to help find opportunities to reduce those. In doing so, like Lieutenant Chamberlain mentioned earlier, the two different prongs to response. There's always the enforcement side of it, but there's also the outreach side of it, and really identifying people using social network analysis, using intelligence, using referrals. So when we do have those family members or those friends that are close to violent crime, we can reach out to them with outreach rather than enforcement. Work in the right hands there to help maybe deter their crime. As we know from studies that violent crime is contagious, it's sticky, it's a small percentage of people that are involved in it, so we can identify people that are close to that and make them high risk, and we can reduce that risk for them and positive outcomes. Traffic fatalities were high again. That's another thing that we're looking to reduce through both enforcement opportunities, but really the environmental changes and the education are very important in reducing traffic collisions, fatalities. And then I know you guys have heard in the past about police network investigations or what the city now calls VIVA, or Violence Interruption and Vitalization Action. That's kind of our rebranding of a place-based evidence-based strategy. And we have a new site. We started with our three original sites. Some of those are either in or moving into maintenance phase because we've had about 80% reduction in violent crime, gun-related crime in those areas. Our new site has kind of a different makeup to it. The other three tended to have large apartment complexes within those networks. Our new site on Fort Bull between Oracle and First has a little bit of a different dynamic up there. But again, through data, we've identified as a sustained gun violence hotspot within our city. And so we're taking steps through a lot of different efforts to get out there and try to improve quality of life in the area, reduce gun violence, reduce victimization, just make sustainable improvements all over. So that's really all I have for you. If you have any specific questions, I know we can't necessarily ask them here, but if there's something you want to hear from us next month, please let us know and make sure that.
Thank you very much. Item number B, Office of Professional Standards. Any updates?
This month is we are looking at the discipline guide, and one of the things we're noting, and I'm sure sometimes you guys keep them on the same names over and over. So one of the things we're doing is either starting as a supportive to conditions of continuing employment. So what I mean with that is you've seen our thermometer and then we land with city sanctions that are sustained. But when we have something that's been habitual, let's say a PPR, which we'll talk about a little bit, just the personnel performance report, those don't stay in your jacket as, like, and you look at my history, it's not there. It stays with the sergeants to kind of get a context. Like, hey, you did good, you did bad. Sometimes you move to a district supervisor, and those don't last more than a year. What we're looking at, the discipline, is let's say there was an investigation that the person landed in the blue, restored if they get a PPR. If we get a certain number and we're working with the city's attorney office, like let's say reasonable 3-4, then we're going to bump it up. We're going to say at this point, we've given you so much coaching, mentoring, but we're still not understanding and knowing that potentially your consequence could look at mounting the incident. I don't know how to include that employee. Then there's another piece that's called performance improvement plan. And it's just kind of a set timeline. And what we're working with the labor advisors, we're trying to make it like 6 months. But hey, we had all these issues. Can we get you to success in 6 months? Is it via more training? Is it via other avenues, resources within the department? Or kind of maybe you weren't in a good timeline. And other people kind of have that and affect your work life. What can we do to improve you? The last component is how we work in what we call a continued contract for an employment. So basically, on those CCDs is what we use our verbiage is someone who's potentially almost been fired, but not. Their situation is so grave that at this point we've done mentoring, we've done restorative. And we're just looking at you with a microscope, like, hey, you got to take steps to improve yourself in this plan here. Potentially, any new violations could lead up to discipline or possibly termination. So we're kind of getting those steps and working it in, still keeping in mind that you want to be resilient to our people. You want to be able to make mistakes, but can we catch the one that actually doing this over and over and over, and what can we do to improve ourselves? That's one of the main goals.
Out of your 800-something officers, how many fall into the fifth category or this later CCB category?
That's a good question because is it like two or three people or do you have like 50 people? Right now we don't have this many, but we kind of see it as two parallel tracks. We have something where it's progressive, right? There's someone that is continually moving on and themselves. We have so many times we have to look at them for investigation, or they did this one horrendous thing, and we're just like, no, we can't accept that. We're going to put you on this plan. It's kind of a tangible kind of going in that.
But fewer, I would suppose.
Very few. Yeah. So this is one of those tools that probably I would say less than like a 1% of our employment is necessary. done over and over, and we're just like, okay, we've seen your name comments. We're still adding different ones of our behavioral health. We're still adding different ones and saying, okay, what is really the root of the problem that we're having with that? But there's some point where there has to be consequences after so many, okay, we're going to approach your head for you, and that's not sticky. But it's a very small percentage.
But they're a part of that process, right? Like, they're agreeing to that they can actually achieve those improvements.
And it's only also supervised and accountable, yeah. Right? If you can have a whole squad, and, you know, your supervisor can pay no more attention to you, and get you to make sure you pass that land. Give you a bad question, let me buy anything. So it's not like, hey, you better do good, and then you disappear. So it's this contract between the employee and me.
So I'm just curious, I used to work in the city, and my brother was a police officer in the city, and I ended up being the supervisor. So he mentioned one time when he got in trouble, one of the times he got in trouble, that it was in his jacket, and he had mentioned it was going to be gone in a year. And I, on the other hand, had my jacket, and I'd been written up several times throughout my 23 years, even as a supervisor, and never leave my jacket. So is that like a union thing, that it doesn't, I mean, why is it, and I'm not saying that you have to compare it to the city's cops, but is it just a police thing that they say the PIPs can go, not the PIPs, but the
PPRs.
The PPRs can go away after a while? Is it just a cop thing?
It's a minor infraction. It's not anything where he was already a couple times. I'm not going to have a conversation to you. I'm going to try as your supervisor. So it's like, hey, let's form a plan. And the good example is the EC2 we just talked about a little bit about the driving.
Yeah.
We couldn't bring that officer did that when we knew enough, like, hey, you were a part of this. Don't make sure he doesn't do it again. So the sergeant did a good job of, like, I'm going to record this and put it in your jacket, my personal file, for a year. Because if I get another complaint that you're driving like this, then it's going to key me in to say, okay, maybe there is more of an issue. So I thought of what your brother had. It was probably something like that, where it was a minor low level, not reached good enough. It's kind of where it would be on his form last time.
Assessment means agreeable?
No, they're not, but they do get vetted through the city attorney. And they look at the verbiage and the reasonable of what between as an employee. And the verbiage and everything that's in those is the same general order that I'm being held to at this point. Right now, I'm not under CCP, but you're not making a lot of extra stuff. It just kind of reminds me, like, you're the general or you're a professional. This is the code that we're telling you. It's just at a level that we're reminding you.
Good choice. Would you think that the officer was going to choose a small suspension without pay in lieu of the CCP or take the CCP in lieu of the suspension?
And yeah, they would choose the suspension, but you would put it in our discipline and part of the layout plan. There's an opportunity when we're supervisors to talk to their data plan and so on.
Yeah, it'd be interesting what the motivator, what the motivator is.
So it's very outlier.
So we're just so disappointed as the positive one. But yeah, so we're getting the desired effect. You have a pattern of behavior or maybe a single event like the technical is saying that is significant enough to say because this happened and you receive discipline for it, you want to ensure your best moving forward so it becomes an agreement. Supervisor, but it's also another layer that you can get that and say,
yeah,
based on foundation.
So, the process always just like between the officer, supervisor, or your office, does it ever involve with the rest of the people on the squad? You don't have like an intervention where they say how the officer's behavior has influenced them.
The bystander.
Just reading that like a school's, behavioral interventions, where the other students say how that other student's behavior interrupts the class or makes it harder for them to learn, makes them scared, or it reminds them of something. Or is it just strictly supervisor?
It's strictly supervisor. Yeah. With the office. those are held to confidentiality too. They get the release of their information. So it's not normal for them. I'm just having an example of that.
If you guess, it would be like a HR, pretty much, right? But I mean, I think that theory of bystander effect would be interesting because if people were aware, like, dude, step off or whatever.
Right. You're
placed
in a different assignment for a little while. I mean, you can
each
get
a key and they're not like, oh,
Joe went.
I was saying, I know when it comes into the people around them, that's usually done like, you know, hey, let's go have some coffee over here in the squad, have we'll get together and say, hey, what you're doing, you're not showing up to work, are you doing this or that? And they try to help coach themselves, especially with the younger kids, like trying to get to before it gets to the level of the supervisor. But I know I've been a part of a couple of them. When it gets to the supervisor point, then it's now, okay, now dad found out, now I'm really in trouble. And the brothers and sisters are like, told you, you're going to get it. Like, stop going this way. But, you know, they did change, so now dad's involved. And then it's like, okay, this is, now it's serious. Please start this. Then there's just that escalating factor. But at every chance, every angle, they're trying to correct that behavior, not just give them a trouble. It's like, okay, is this actually going to be the correct behavior to make it a better person? Because there's so much more to deal with rather than just thinking internally and
Because
that's family. And that's the thing is, but at the same point, family also has to recognize when it's time to discipline each other. And that's what, I mean, OPS is here for, because that's when grandpa gets involved.
Yeah.
Like when the elders get involved, it's like, oh, no, this has got really bad. That's funny.
All people are active bystanders with law enforcement. So it's a program out of Georgetown University that teaches exactly that. You want to intervene at the lowest level when you can do it peer to peer and you can do it brother to sister, right? And then sometimes mom and dad have to get involved because you want to prevent harm to, you know, whatever the behavior could be, harm to the employee, harm to the community, harm to law enforcement in general. And so it talks about different opportunities to both recognize when harm is occurring and the best ways to intervene along the way. And sometimes it is, you know, usually just when there's a and sometimes it's for us to coffee and chat on this.
You want to know what's going to affect that person the best, right? Is if they give time off, is it a write-up? Is it someone when I'm disappointed in you? I mean, I have children, all three kids. I had to discipline completely differently. You know, one, and test me. Well, my first one, second one, I just give him a look of disappointment and that crushed it. So, you know, you got, we're all people.
Right.
My discipline might not affect me the same way it would to you. So it's like trying to find out and having those layers to make sure we're hitting every possibility and going, cool, this is the one that worked.
Right.
And that's where those PPRs come in, where I can sit there and write down, hey, the squad got together with him and this seemed to be very reactive. So that way, if there is a problem down the road, that sergeant, hey, this was cool, let's try that approach.
Right, right.
So it's just trying to learn what works best for each individual.
Oh. Great. So item number 8, Office of Independent Police Auditor, Judge, how are you?
How are you? You good? Yes, you are. All right. Actually, a few things. You're still chair, and in this meeting, if Jaime is so anointed based on your nomination, you'll be chair. The hours that you've collected for training, you're going to pass along to Jaime again. How about today's? Who's going to record today's just to make sure we're all on the same page?
I will do that.
Okay, thank you. If you have not completed your aid yet, please make an effort to do so. Sergeant Lansdale is now Lieutenant Lansdale. Very well deserved promotion, by the way, in my personal opinion. Who is going to be replacing him to take over this coordination for CFAR? As of yet, I do not know. So please go through me, and I'd be happy to ask questions and pass along information as necessary. So anything that needs to go through Lansdale to get your AD in, please get your AD in.
Is there an end date for that 80?
What's that?
Is there an end date for the 80 hours?
Yes,
I mean, is it this 2025 calendar year?
That's, no, it's your statutory required 80 complete participants.
There is
no required anything.
But now we all have to do.
Or the requirement is that you endeavor to pursue, I believe,
up to 40
or 40.
Up to, yeah.
Up to. So there's no statutory requirement.
Okay, I thought you were saying now there's another
no,
baby.
No,
okay, I'm sorry.
You All right. Paul said, right? These things need to be handled out a long time ago. Carlos and Jaime, you've got the certificates for the full day of scenario-based use of force training for CPAR and FERD members. This goes back to November of 24. If you can pencil it down, they can get their certificate. That was for that day you for the shop, Nancy Huffman. All right.
Yeah, did they put your first name first or your last name first?
Yeah, last name first.
Yeah.
All right, a couple of other things.
Sir, you can cut through this door right here.
Oh.
It's in the next room right here.
Sorry, is that where the chief is?
No, the chief who was doing the Prof 414 is at Midtown Station. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah.
Couple of things. OBS is having some more staff changes as promotions are. A lot of promotions and seats on the stay warm very modestly. And we're seeing that again in OPSS, and sergeants have just been moved up to lieutenant. So they're going to be bringing some new folks into OPS to really an already relatively young staff.
Same issue.
So,
sorry.
In about maybe 3 months, 4 months from now, the cases that you get, take a little hard look at them and make sure, because you're likely to be dealing with a less tenured group of OPS investigators. So just to keep that in mind and see what you think, what you do, you're an Eagle. It doesn't mean anything particular. It's just, you know, every time you get somebody new, they don't have the same skill sets, and just have a real strong eye. Force Review Board is now finally back on track. Force Review Board used to do cases other than officer law shootings, and then it became nothing but officer law shootings. A lot of downsides and nothing makes you think other than officer law shootings, and now it has gone back. So, thankfully, I believe there'll be a lot more involvement, a lot more things to talk about, maybe a lot more observations to be had. Officer law shootings, of course, have been gone through by command staff, OPS, and every attorney in town before they would get to the Force Review Board. So now we're getting back to catering bites, for example, pepper ball strikes and kicks, things like that, where maybe the attorneys, of course, have not been picking over that, and there's a lot more opportunity to have some input. Now, the Force Review Board is made up of community members as well as PPD. So that involves command staff, union subject matter experts, patrol officers across the board. So if anybody's interested, they meet once a month, and you get cases very similar to what you have here, and you get to pick them apart and look at it with a different eye, and how you would look at that would be given to you. If you look at strategy, communication, et cetera, supervision. So if you're interested in that, participate as much or as little as you want. It's a great group, actually. It really is. Force Review Board, you can talk to me about that if you'd like. Or if you, maybe more importantly, since you're already involved here and it probably taps most of your free time, if you have friends, please refer people. We're looking for more community members. Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you have names, get them to me. I will meet with them. I'll buy them a cup of coffee and I'll supervise you to support it. But Daryl over here with I'll pay for the coffee, meet at Starbucks, and we can talk for, you know, a couple of hours. Like I've done with coffee. someone can hear.
Is it Mitch's the same where there's an assignment from each one of the wards and the mayor?
No.
Is any community member, City of Tucson?
So selected community members.
Okay.
But we're looking for...
Maybe in the city counties.
That's not a requirement either.
Oh, and do they have to do the 8 hours of training?
No.
Okay.
So it's important to have a real diverse group of people there and with different perspectives. So please, always looking for someone new. You can be involved as little or as much as you like. There's already a decent number of community members, but it's always good to get new blood. There is a shelf life to these first review board members. They come on, and we want them to have a jaded eye. We don't want them to come in as either a cop hater or a police groupie. What's the value? Yes, there is many. So to have somebody go who could be critical, they can sit in a room with uniforms, not be afraid to speak, and pass along their observations is great. So if they're a little jaded, even better. After a while, when you sit in a room with somebody for so long, they're not as scary. And when they become friends, that's for sure the same values there. They're not quite as jaded at that point. But, we're at Spot Rose looking for new members. So if you've got some names, send them over. Okay? Please, it's important. Next. For those folks that wanted to talk about that web workshop, let's jump into that real quick. The one that's upcoming in March that you already saw some paperwork about. By the time I got names, and some of you still have not even responded yet, all of those who were available to dose were filled. So there was no dose of bones left you could observe. Not, I don't think a lot of you had wanted. So they run these once a month. And the next one is coming up, it's Saturday, April 5th. And if that's possible, if you'd like to do that and you would like to dose, you can. But let me know very soon. So let me tell you how that breaks down. You are picked up by TPD at your house if you work in the dosing. Okay? Unless you have other arrangements. But generally, you're picked up by TPD. Okay? So if you don't want to be seen, you don't put a bag on your head. That's a walk in. When you get to Solensi, you all know where Solensi is, right? Thank you, Jerry. All right, at 3:30, you will start dosing. You will dose for an hour.
Could you just say drinking?
No, dose. Dose for an hour. I can say anything. All right, so you would dose for an hour, and after which there's a deprivation period. They call it mid-breath test, and then you dose again for another hour, and then you have another deprivation period. Students are introduced and are allowed to complete the walk and turn, the one-leg stand, test and the HGN test, field HGN, or the little gauge the status. It's wrong. They see half your eyes back.
I'll say it.
They didn't use of any substance. And you also get to guess whether or not you are over 0.08, of course, being the legal limit for a DUI in Arizona. Your exit BAC, blood alcohol, is collected, and then you are driven home. So...
I want to do it.
All of that, well, that's what I'm going to get there, eh? So that's Saturday, April 5th, this coming April. And again, you picked up, depending on how many people they need to pick up, they pick at 1:30 or earlier. Again, they're going to want to start a dosing at 3:30. So, and it runs till about 9 p.m.
Can I switch my...
Yes.
Friday, that Saturday?
You were all being switched.
Oh, awesome.
Sometimes I'm
already... It's not March 7th. Huh? It's not March 7th.
Well, there is no 1:07. If you would rather go as an observer on March 7th, that's fine.
But you can't dose.
You can go as an observer on either March 7th or April 5th. You certainly can. But if you like to dose, you can only shut us on April 5th.
Man.
So
April 5th.
You do.
Let's go ahead and handle. Jerry, you want to dose or you want to observe?
What am I dosing? Yeah, no, there's no way. So I can do I can't do the fifth because your best of one that's pretty higher than you. I can watch on the seven.
Okay.
Okay.
Hang on. Since he's not going to be dosing, but just watching, he could drive himself.
Yeah, I'll drive myself.
Don't get in there, no, absolutely. You're not going to get a ride.
Right. If you're and it's dosing. Just a situation much. So, yeah.
All right, so okay, let's go on to that, Jerry. And Nancy, you want to do the dosing on the 7th, on the 5th, right?
April 5th, yeah.
All right.
So,
I mean,
yes.
You want a dose?
Yes.
And you said there's a full bar.
I'm not going to bring my camera. Don't worry about it. Annabelle, what do you want to do?
I'll dose on the
5th. Tell me again.
I'll dose on the 5th.
Now, yeah. If anybody has friends that they would like to involve, please email these links and whether they would like to post or observe. I don't know how many people dose, okay? And clearly, the bar's going to get first dibs on that. So I will let you know if they can't dose, you let me know if they still want to go or not. So I've got everybody, Carlos Cam, I just see what you're doing, and the rest of you with the dose on April 5th. Again, this is run by the Impaired Driver Enforcement Unit. So you're getting experts in what this means. This isn't just a cocktails.
So
what about
Kate?
Oh, we're back for that. How about you up there, Kate?
She's dosing right now.
I have to teach a group fitness program at 8:30 on Sunday morning. So, and then I've got to look at my schedule to see if I'm manager on duty. I think I'd like to do the dosing, but can I kind of taper it in case so I can teach the next day?
If they do it the same way they did it the last time I did it, Kate, you can elect to go not so much.
Okay.
Like you don't have to bruise a lot.
Okay, I'd like to hang out with you as long as I'm not manager on duty on the 5th.
They do it the same way they did it the last time.
Yeah, if you want to do a half dose, do that. All right.
I don't think they're going to force us.
Are you in or you still need time to check your calendar?
Put me as in, and then I'll check the calendar with the rest of the staff when I get into work Thursday.
Because I didn't hear back, and it kind of fills up quick. And, you know, in all fairness to them, they're not doing this as a fun activity at Disneyland. This is, you know, this was the training that they set up. So they need to make sure it's staffed the correct way. So if you change your mind and you don't want to dose, you want to observe, love it. Just tell me so they can get somebody else to take that slide, okay? Anybody have any questions about that? I will get your details. I promise. You'll find out. They send you a little thing, and the Uber driver is going to be ahead of time. Expect officer.
An Uber driver or is it an officer?
It's going to be an officer.
Oh, all
right. Oh, yeah. Maybe
send him out.
Yeah.
I'm going to
shoot you in the
trunk. Anybody else? Everybody good? Any questions for me?
Renee, you want to come and dose?
Can
what's that?
Can not commission members dose in? Public?
You know, it's thinking of come on.
If anybody's in, I'll be happy to submit your name. I mean, I'm not the one that makes the selections. You're interested?
Yeah.
You dose or not dose?
This is going to be a very good bonding experience for CPAR.
Oh, yeah. I did it in the 90s. It's way different than I did it about.
All right. And then you get turned off, you are not allowed to get involved in a street takeover.
Yeah.
I thought we'd come full circle now. Anybody have anything else? All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, so item number 9, CPARP vacancies. We still are vacant in Ward 1 and Ward 2. Is that correct? Do we have anyone on deck? Mitch, have you heard anything? Judge?
No, I have heard absolutely nothing. Okay. Surprised. Other people have reached out as well, so I'm really not sure what to say. I will continue to work on people. And those of you in the room, by the way, according to city code, your appointment here is coterminous with your appointer. So if your council person is out, new council person comes in, that's your new council person appoints you. No one is banging on anybody's doors. I did the gift, which is good. So my experience has been if you want to come back on, you just make a phone call to the new council person and say, hey, I've been on CPAR under the last council person. I'd like to be able to continue. Is that okay? Can you appoint me? It's really been as simple as that. And if you're a little nervous about doing that, certainly I can make a call or the new CPAR chairman can put a word in for you as well. So, but just to know, so you know, the ordinance requires that your term ends when your council person ends. And that will be coming up for at least 4 or 5 and 6 here and 6. Yeah. So, anyway, just something to think about ahead of time.
Right.
All right, I'm done.
Okay, thank you. So item number 10, election for the chair and vice chair. I think that we can now memorialize the fact that Jaime is taking the lead as chair and Annabelle is vice chair. Do we vote on that right now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to elect Jaime Tadeo as chair and Annabelle Nunez as vice chair.
Yeah, we should put a roll call. Okay, so Jaime Tadeo. Annabelle Nunez.
Hi.
Hey, Calhoun.
Hi.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I hope I'm not stepping on anyone because my sound is fading in and out. That was all blessed. Okay, thank you. All right. Item number 11, future agenda items. Does anyone have a recommendation for a future agenda item? Would you like to hear something special, a special topic?
Something I'd share, the 5th Alvernon meeting that we have here once a month with Lieutenant Brian Corcoran. And I spoke with him today, and we're having a member of the Zebra unit come, who is a person that speaks with the homeless. So related to that meeting, we could move it to this. If it's of value to this group, maybe I can talk to Lieutenant Brian. And we'll see, that's on the 26th, so a week from tomorrow night, we'll have that meeting. And if it's a great presentation, it might be something of value to us, perhaps also. So I could maybe help or try to arrange that. If we all think that might be valuable to sort of, you know, a officer who's out in the streets at night, it might be, for me, for the other meeting, is going to be interesting. So we might relate it here if everybody's agreeable. I think it's interesting. What do you think, Chief?
So the Zebra units do a variety of different special projects within the divisions. Each division uses them slightly differently, but it's interesting to see how they are used to help solve problems as opposed to being traditional call takers. Eight times we've loaded it, nine times we've loaded it in some divisions. So, yeah, there's different perspectives there.
But do you think it would be valuable for this group to have someone who's actually interacting with the public, the homeless public, speak to us? Do you think valuable?
Yeah, just to see what beyond like traditional law enforcement type methods that we use. I think it builds a picture where it's being on this traditional criminal justice system to help.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of cases we look at are officers that are, you know, like a young lady with a road rage thing. You know, they're out in the street doing their job. So, you know, again, to me it's interesting, but I'm also looking at perspective for the other media. But I think it would be interesting. Mitch, could you arrange that? Or?
I'll get something coordinated with the first office. We'll get it together. Thanks, Bill.
Okay. That's just my suggestion. Somebody might have something else.
That's a good idea. I wouldn't limit it to just homeless. Because they do an awful lot of work. They're just that. And they do more than just traditional law enforcement. So I think that would be very interesting to you folks.
Yeah.
And you're going to see that in the first of your videos. So I think it's absolutely applicable.
Okay, cool.
So this is not related to CFAR, but I read online, because it's online, I didn't really see, I didn't think that it's real, but human trafficking at the gym show, is that a thing?
Yeah, I don't have the stats on that or to know like what if it's a thing per se. I know it is something that can happen in those type of traveling shows or events. So we do a lot of work ahead of time for education, putting materials out, talking to people with vendors. I don't know if we have particularly seen an increase or decrease here to know if it's necessarily relevant here.
Another suggestion to think about in the future, with the new federal administration, it comes a different focus with immigration. And I know that's a significant issue, certainly in Tucson, and a big concern of this board. So TPD's gone out of its way to make its position known to date, and whether or not it changes at all, or whether the federal government has to force a change. But it's something you might want to think about asking to have a report on maybe within a few months from now, once things shake out a little bit. I think would be an interesting point.
Yeah, my question is, how much of an influence does the federal government have on our police budget locally? Are they a good contributor or marginal?
I'm no budget expert, but I can tell you there's a lot of different factors that go into what creates a general fund or the budget together. We do have a lot of, I can't think of the number off the top of my head, but we have millions of dollars of grants that come in. And so changes in the federal government could affect those. Right now, we are not seeing a huge effect. We have been put on notice. We have the same concerns that came out on whether or not some of our grant funding would be frozen or removed. Right now, we're doing okay, but that's still to be determined on some of that. So grant funding is outside of our general budget that we get through the city, which is funded through a variety of
special initiatives, what department?
Yes.
So it's a diversified
grant. Yep. And there's different, formula grants, which have to do with, basically the amount of money you get is dependent on some sort of factor. It might be population, it might be crime rate, something like that. So that's okay. This year you qualify for this match and you can put in your proposal on what you want to spend it on. There's other competitive grants that might be an initiative that you want to start, like a community-based violence intervention program was $2 million grants. And I do every so often we go for it's called a SOPKI grant, the Central Assault Kit Initiative, which allows us to get funding and resources to clear backlogs, excess assault cases, and stuff like that. So it kind of depends on what you're looking at.
Yeah.
But yeah, so typically federal impact comes on the grant side of things as opposed to the local.
Those numbers included in our annual report.
I believe we had that last year in the annual
report.
Yeah.
But one question. Kind of mentioned the trafficking. Is there anything that TPD is sort of doing that would be a good presentation for?
We do have a unit that specializes in sex trafficking and that sort of thing. I can see if they are able to.
That's great. Yeah. I would like to put that on the table, Madam Chair, as a potential topic. Would appreciate
it. Which would you prefer first? Okay, you've got sex trafficking, and then you've got what's the only
one? Zebra friends. Yeah. Please.
Do you have the order on the agenda?
Oh, immigration stuff. So that would take us into May.
That would be good.
Maybe.
Yeah, so maybe May, the immigration stuff, because it'll shake out probably by then.
Wow.
Because
that's
great. For everything in immigration.
Yeah.
March,
you're
in May.
Yeah.
Awesome.
DUI
test course. April 5th.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for your years of service. Appreciate it.
Yes. Hey, round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to call this meeting adjourned because I need to go hang out someplace else. Yeah. So it is 7:25, meeting adjourned. See y'all next month. Thank you.
Why? She knows March Madness dates. I had to look up April 5th. Yeah.